In this presentation from Flexible Elements, Zoltan Nagy talks about self-reconfiguring modular robots, which are robust enough for surgery within the human body, from IT Conversations. Hi, this is Phil Windley, the executive producer of IT Conversations. Today I'm excited to bring you another program from Flexible Elements with Per Jobourg.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media.
And now, here's our program from Flexible Elements.
So, welcome to the Flexibility Envelope podcast. I'm here today with Zoltan Nagy from the ETA Zurich, and we're going to talk about his technology to self-assemble small robotic modules with magnetic connectors. Welcome, Zoltan.
Welcome, nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain to us how you started your work? You worked together with another team, I understand.
That's right. We worked with an Italian group from Pisa, University of Pisa, mm-hmm. Paolo Dalia's group, and we both worked on designing modules that you would basically swallow in parts, and then they would assemble inside the stomach, and then perform more complex operations.
Than just the image robots we're commonly used to now.
Exactly. I mean, that's where it all started. Like 2001, this capsule endoscope or camera capsules were introduced. Mm-hmm. And since then, about 700,000 patients have swallowed them have been treated and imaged through the GI tract. The main advantage they have over traditional endoscopy and colonoscopy is that they can image the small intestine, mm-hmm. which is not accessible mm-hmm. otherwise.
So there is, and you might hope that the more advanced modules that can, for instance, used to do biopsies could also come to the small intestines eventually, huh?
Exactly. I mean, the capsules are very effective, they're mm-hmm. great, but they're also passive. Mm-hmm. So they don't have, they cannot locomote. Mm-hmm. They are, they're moving as the stomach and mm-hmm. the intestine moves through peristaltic motion. Mm-hmm. But because they were so successful, there were a lot of researchers working on studying the field and trying to extend it into so-called robotic capsules or mm-hmm. active locomotion capsules.
That can go to a certain point at the command, so to speak.
That's right. Or mm-hmm. just extend the flexibility and give more functions. Mm-hmm. For a surgeon, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of work going on adding feet mm-hmm. to these capsules, or adding additional sensors, studying locomotion mechanisms through, there is rotational trials, there is padding motion, there mm-hmm. is feet, 2 feet, 4 feet, 8 feet, and then more crazy ones as well. Mm-hmm. So the basic problem that we are all facing, though, at this point is power.
Yeah. And also complexity of the module, that you can't stuff more exactly. into one module because you can't swallow it then.
Power and size, because mm-hmm. we're bound to a certain size that people can swallow, which mm-hmm. is about 2.5 centimeters, maybe smaller. The camera mm-hmm. capsules are like 22, 23 millimeters mm-hmm. long and like 12 millimeters in diameter.
Mm-hmm. That's also why you want to go to the self-reconfiguring now that connects together multiple modules.
That's right. I mean, you have basically two approaches to increase the functionality of these capsules, right? You can either try and make everything very, very small, mm-hmm. which then also faces fabricational mm-hmm. problems mm-hmm. or issues. Mm-hmm. Power, like I said, is an issue.
Mm-hmm. Batteries good at small size.
Not available, and if you make them smaller, you lose a lot of energy because mm-hmm. they scale linearly with the size or cubed with the size. Mm-hmm. And so then that's one approach. You can try to make everything smaller. The other approach is try to decouple all the functions, separate them into different modules. Mm-hmm. Thereby, the modules will be simpler in design, very basic. But now the other problem is that they somehow have to interact.
Yeah, they have to cooperate to perform the task. You know?
Yes, and the first interaction, so to speak, in that sense, would be that they assemble so that they can use all the functionality. So if you have one battery module, mm-hmm. it should share all the power to the other modules as well, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, now you're facing this problem of self-assembly. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what kind of mechanism do you want these modules to come together? And this mechanism should have, of course, requirements, because you can't have, again, complex function or complex locomotion going on. You don't want to have complex
mechanisms, especially if you're supposed to work inside the human being, the body.
Exactly. Or you're facing, again, the same problems as before, right? Mm-hmm. So the simplest thing that you can think of is magnets, right? Because they don't need power. They attract each other, and it's, they want to come together. So the question really then is, if you decide to use magnets, how do you design the face? What will work, right? And that's where that's where our contribution in that project was, to look at different designs and then magnet configurations and try to understand what's happening. Because everybody has played with magnets. You know, if you approach them, they start to do funny things. They attract or they repel, but it's very fast. And there's not much work in understanding what will actually happen and how you can control it, or what the boundary limit, or what the limits are in such a system, so that it becomes really 100% assembly. Because that's, of course, the goal. You cannot live with 40% assembly success.
The reliability of the system is a crucial factor.
I mean, especially if you're talking medical applications.
Yeah.
You have no room for error, right?
No. So you started with some kind of original design. You started, am I correct? I understand that you started from the really theoretical point of view. You try to calculate your way to the correct one, or?
Well, no, I mean, the first thing, I mean, yes, of course, we tried to understand first, the simplest thing what we can do is calculate forces between magnets, right? That we can do. We can use computer models. We can use mathematical models. And see what happens. But what we found is you take two configurations that are very similar in theory, and you look at them from different perspectives, and they tell you the different results, basically, right? And you like look at this, and you're like, well, this one result tells me this, that this configuration is better, and this other result tells me that this configuration is better, and both make sense, right? And that still doesn't solve the problem, because it doesn't tell you how they will assemble in the end.
No.
And so that's why we've decided to take a very simple approach and basically looked at made a CAD model. Actually, our Italian collaborators had the CAD model of a stomach, and we got that and milled out the stomach for ourselves. So an inverted or a negative, basically, of the stomach. So we can study these modules in action, so to speak.
Real life, yes, a simulated stomach, yeah.
Yeah, it's simulated real stomach, that's right. And we made some basic modules.
Versions of you, just random versions, cylinders. The ones you thought was best.
Well, yeah, cylinders at certain size. We made different sizes, made different diameters, different configurations of magnets that we thought, of these two configurations I told you before, that those might be the best one we should further explore. And basically made some statistical analysis on it, and just saw, okay, if you would swallow one and swallow the next one, what happens? How would they assemble at all? What are the different assembly results that you can get with it, right? Just to get an intuition what's happening. And at a very high level, it was interesting to see that out of these two configurations we had with our magnets, one would work very well, and the other one wouldn't work at all.
Ah, okay. And they are reasonably close anyway, huh?
That's right. I mean, those were very comparable, but it was a very significant result, which was good, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the models in the beginning was correct.
Yeah.
I mean, both were correct, but one would make more sense in the end. And so that was our sort of result. And what we're working on now, because it's still not very reliable. I mean, with these experiments, we were going up to 65-70%
of correct assembly
of success rate. That's right. And we were able, with little tweaking of the design, going up to 80%. It's still not enough. So we still need to understand more theoretically what's going on.
And that's what you're going to work on from now on.
Exactly, huh? Exactly. That's what I'm focusing on, because we really need a deeper understanding of how these things behave in that sense. But you can already demonstrate relatively simple relatively simple things, like if you extend a little bit the design of the modules, you add a few other magnets on the right position, you can assemble these modules basically into snake type structures, which is what you want in the end, because if you keep up ending these modules at assemble, you end up with a bar, which is not really helpful in but magnets that have this configuration that we looked at have compliant structures, so they would adapt basically to the intestine as it moves through.
It's flexible, so
it's
that
flexible.
It can move through. It's not a bar.
Exactly.
And the Italian team, they also had an actuator joint, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, our Italian collaborators, they did a great job in designing modules. They had, technically speaking, a 2 degrees of freedom rotation for a module. They put on the very smallest motors that you can get. Commercially, they designed.
And they're very tiny. I can tell you, I've seen them.
They designed the whole controller around it. They're wireless. They can hold up to 3 modules together, and they also designed little tweezers at the end, so they can do basically snake type motion as we speak. Yes. What we have also, sorry, finish up on that, these first experiments we made in a plastic stomach. But once we saw which configuration would work, we also tested these configurations or the derivatives of those in a porcine stomach, because that's a kind of a model for a human stomach, and we found the same results.
Yeah, so your result from the simulated stomach matched the result from the
exactly.
real stomach.
I mean, there was no significant difference, which is also a good sign that we can use our plastic stomach and we don't need to get the stomach.
No. Two things is important when we're talking about connectors, and this is the force they connect with. Did you find that the force would be sufficient for operating in the stomach? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, magnets are perfect for this size.
Yeah,
they exert the force that is, sufficient to get attraction over a reasonable distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, they have also a sufficiently high holding force.
Yeah, yeah. I guess when you do this on a regular person, you will kind of clean the stomach, I guess, to get it as clean as possible, if not for any other reason, but you need to see what you're doing. But the stomach's probably never going to be 100% clean. The fouling problem, if you got something in between the magnets when they were connecting, could you disconnect and try again? And how much fouling could you stand?
The neat thing about the design that we've come up with is that actually if your magnets would be on some kind of a rotary actuator, they could actually disconnect and repel themselves. So rotate and repel themselves.
While still only using power when you do that motion.
Exactly.
When they're static, they don't use any power, which is very important.
Exactly. And the magnetic forces would also withstand over a certain distance if there was something in between, I guess. So that shouldn't be a problem.
That's great, because I think that's one of the least addressed problems we have in connector design, the fouling, because when we operate, especially in such a complex environment as in the human body and in any practical environment, really, we have to be able to resist foiling in the start to start with, and then, of course, also to defoil when they connect to each other. Any debris that's in there should, in as large extent as possible, be able to go somewhere, but your connector doesn't have that problem.
So magnets are perfect for this use. They're also used in a lot of modular robot systems, right? The M-Trend modules, or the recent work out of Daniele Russi's lab at MIT.
Yeah, the Pebbles. We saw them. They're really great.
They're
so
fantastic.
Impressive.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Can you tell me anything about what you're going to? What are your goals right now? What will I hear from you in, say, 2 years when we meet again?
Good question. Like I said, I hope I can further study this theoretically.
And so that we better understand and can predict what's going to happen. Huh?
Exactly. I mean, that's what we try to do, right? And, of course, we have to perform further experiments in porcine stomachs and try to come up with a final design that is small enough to be swallowed, that is robust enough so that you have 100% or near 100% success rate, and also the flexibility that we hope to achieve. So we can transfer power from module to module.
Yeah, yeah. You don't do that now. No power and signal. Just the holding force.
Exactly. And the Italian group in Pisa, they had individual modules that were individually powered and individually communicated that.
Mm-hmm. But radio. They were from outside. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're in the stomach and it's usually not that far to the surface of the human body, I guess you could do it that way in this specific situation.
It's RF communication.
Yeah. So really interesting to have you here, and I'm grateful for you being part of the interview, and I hope to talk to you soon when you have more results, and thank you for listening.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to a presentation from Flexible Elements with Per Jobork.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media. The post-production audio engineer for this program was Jeremy Glenn. Our website editor was Cheryl Coe. The series producer is Joel Cherney.
This is Phil Wendley. I hope you'll join me next time for another great presentation from Flexible Elements with Per Jobork here on IT Conversations.